Hello, it's Dr. Kent Holtorf with another episode of the Peptide Summit 2.0. And today we'll be talking to Regan Archibald, pretty amazing guy, functional medicine practitioner and entrepreneur. So we're talking about really how to not only practice great functional medicine, but also how to make money and enjoy doing it. Thank you, Regan. You're become one of my heroes. You have so many skills that I basically suck at. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're awesome. Well, I don't know about that, but I really am honored to be here. And you've been a hero of mine for years. And actually, one of the first times we met was at one of my Go Wellness events when we looked at the material that one of the presenters was teaching on peptides. And you said, hey, that's my material. And I said, well, I'm kicking that speaker off and you teach it. And that I just really appreciate your leadership in that moment. I said, this guy's a real, he's just a gem. He's a leader in our community. And so I really thank you for putting on this peptide summit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was interesting. I'm like, wait a minute, this is my slides, and at least, you know, take some effort to change something, you know?
Right.
I remember you called and you said, I suggest you don't come in, you know?
Yeah, he was, he's never been back since then. I don't, like, that was just, you know, something that where you got to draw the line, right? And so it was perfect. And then you just inspired everybody. And we just said, we realized we did not know all the things that you taught about peptides. And it's still to this day, you're just a leader in the field. And it's been incredible to learn
from you. Thank you. That's very kind of you. It was like a Seinfeld, you know, everything's like a Seinfeld.
Yes.
But so about Regan, he graduated with a Master of Science from traditional Chinese medicine, a medical college of Hawaii. Not a bad place to be. Yeah. And went on to create award-winning clinic, the East West Health in 2004. He is founding member of the Anodyne Pain and Wellness Solutions and is on the clinical advisory board there. He enjoys working with his six clinical locations throughout Utah. I didn't know you had that many clinics.
Yeah.
And managing all those clinics, which is one of his skills that we had 9 franchises, 22 centers. It is tough. It is hard. Utah, Hawaii, and New Mexico. His teams have successfully integrated traditional Eastern medicine and peptide therapy with regenerative functional medicine. He's also founder of the Go Wellness, which is a training and mentorship program, which I'm very impressed with, for some of the most transformative doctors in the healthcare field. He loves mentoring, learning from, and coaching healthcare entrepreneurs. He was the first ever American certified in Seita Shinpo.
Seitai.
Oh, man. I listened to it on Google. I don't know how many times I screwed it up. A system of acupuncture that balances the immune system, everything's immune system. And realign spinal imbalances. He has also done several advanced postgraduate training in functional medicine. I mean, he knows so much about so much. I know your education is huge beyond this. Peptide therapy, regenerative medicine. And he's really able to see the big picture and tell you and how to implement it into your practice, which I think is the big thing is that, you know, as doctors, we go to these lectures and these conferences and it's like, you know, theoretical, they're going to say this, go, okay, that's great, I know about it, but how the hell do I do it, you know? Right. And I think that is the biggest hurdle for so many doctors. And he will show you how to do it. Just very cool to work with, by the way. He's also done advanced training, postgraduate training in functional medicine. We talked about that. Throughout his career, he's been a prolific writer, speaker, teacher, instructor, He's inspired thousands of healthcare providers with the idea about creating new healthcare for the future. And that's it. We'll talk about that. You know, where are we headed? I'm a little worried about what the heck's going on. Compounding pharmacies, anything left. So a lot of things. And telemedicine and, you know, who knows? This country's changing and medicine's changing, whether for better or worse. We'll ask the expert. He's the author of 7 books. I have like 7 books, 90% completed. I can never complete them. And has created 18 training programs. And I have, about 18 training programs, 80% done, to help practitioners transform their clinic results and revitalize the purpose, including the peptide advantage, which we'll be offering at with this summit, and the healthcare entrepreneur and functional medicine training. And it's just well worth it. It's just like, you know, I don't know how, like myself, it's just so many doctors are just kind of scrambling, and it gives you feel of control and things are so much smoother and you don't have all those, you know, constant things that are not important, but, oh, need to get done, you know, and you can focus on what you do well and you're basically your stupid human trick, where it's like, hey, I do this really well, and I can focus on that. I'll have to deal with the stuff that I don't like to do. And he'll show you how to do that. Shares his knowledge on podcasts, Your Healthy Self and Go Wellness Radio. His purpose is to make peptides and collaborative medicine, which I think more and more is key, where, you know, I think everyone was kind of on an island before. Mm-hmm. And I think we've kind of learned that we need to stick together. It's not competitors, it's more collaborators. Yep. And I think that's such a better way to look at things. Mainstream medicine is going to hell, basically. So, you know, basically, these are forging leadership in the healthcare field and in the pain and chronic illness. Everyone's sick. Everyone's freaking sick now. You go to a party and I can't tell you, people always come up and go, oh my God, I'm so sick. My doctor says this. And then you say, well, how about this? My doctor says I don't have that. Well, okay, how's that working for you? You know?
Right.
And the healthcare system is broken, but, and it's a totally separate system. So you gotta treat patients and do it where you actually won't lose your mind and patients will be happier. You'll be happier. You'll have more actually free time and not kill yourself and practice better medicine. And he's and he and his team have weekly live practice accelerator coaching calls that can be assessed at gowellness.com/PAC. Yeah, I'm in the small bus group where very dysfunctional. I have to wear a helmet and he tries to teach me.
So, that was great. Well, thanks for the introduction.
So I'm very resistant to change.
We'll get you there.
No, sounds good. But no, I'm a big fan. And I think that what you do is so missing in, you know, medical education. We always think about, you know, doctors are terrible business people, terrible investors. I keep saying, wait, do I buy high and sell low, or do I, you know, and I get confused, but you know, how to really, it's interesting and value your services, you know? And I've learned that. I always go, oh my gosh, through the years, I have to raise my prices. And then I'm like, wait, I'm getting more patients. You know, wait a minute, I raise it again, I'm getting more patients. Yep. And then if we can just offer some decent customer service, we'll probably get more patients. And I know that we lost like some upper end patients because we weren't expensive enough. Yep. He said, oh, he can't be good if he's only charging that, you know. Yep. And packages are huge, and that's been, you know, a struggle for us. So So we're going to bring Reagan in. And I said, we need the full service muscle package where he's going to transform everything. But again, thank you for being on and taking the time. I know you're a busy guy.
You got it. Really good to be here. And you know, you mentioned something in the intro that I think is really important, which is the collaborative medicine approach. You know, I don't think what we're talking about today, it's not alternative medicine. It's obviously it's not mainstream medicine. It's not complementary. It's kind of like a backhanded insult. You know, what we need to do is healthcare entrepreneurs is we need to start standing up and actually, you know, we have all these movements going on, you know, Black Lives Matter and all these other things. I'm like, well, actually we get, you know, I've found that there is discrimination in healthcare. And if you have an opposing opinion, you'll get censored these days. Or if you have a different degree or a different license, I tell people I'm no respecter of credentials. You know, everybody's got something to bring to the table. And that's where I want, my goal is to make collaborative medicine mainstream medicine and to actually give people a portal and an opportunity to transform their health. Otherwise, we're all going to be stuck. Where it's not just a pandemic right now. There's going to be multiple and there's other diseases that need to be addressed. And so today, hopefully I can share with some of your listeners, if they go back and say, what's the biggest challenge in your practice? I hope that I can open up a portal so that by the end of this conversation, they'll start to have much more clarity on how to build out a practice that can actually free more people from chronic disease and free them so that they can enjoy their life again and not feel like they're under the thumb of mainstream medicine.
Yeah, and I think it's a couple things. I mean, one, so many people are sick now. And it's people are getting sicker and the model and the healthcare model is terrible and doctors are miserable. Patients are getting, you know, just terrible care. It's like, okay, you have a family practice. They don't do anything. Okay. Go to the cardiologist, go to the neurologist, go to the gastroenterologist. You know, people aren't bringing all this together. And this is what the, whatever you want to call it. I hate that. People say, what do you do? I don't know what to tell them. I say, I'm a quack. And they go, well, why do you say that's you know, is that I really think if you take 2 months, you can be a better specialist than the care people are getting from their specialist. Okay, unless it's a brain surgeon or surgery or something like that. But they've been doing the same thing for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they don't change. They don't read medical literature. In fact, Annals of Internal Medicine show that doctors are practicing 10 to 20 years behind what's available in the medical literature. It takes on average 17 years for a proven new concept to be accepted in the mainstream medicine, unless it's a new drug and you have a sales team. And it's interesting. So it's, you know, I think like alternative. No, I just think we're better medicine, you know?
It's actually where we take a scientific approach. We say, okay, this works, that doesn't. This works, that doesn't. And, you know, we have hypotheses and we put together theories and we collaborate as a group and we put together a treatment strategy for patients. And then that really gives us the runway to help solve chronic diseases. And that's what I see where doctors struggle the most is they try to incorporate peptides, for example. When you spoke at my event a couple of years ago, maybe it's 3 years ago, everybody had like, whoa, like you, like BPC-157, thymosin beta 4, epitalon, what's this guy talking about? And now I, you know, fast forward, I said the biggest challenge that doctors have is taking these new models of medicine. And I think peptides are the future that will revolutionize medicine if we can keep on this trajectory. I mean, I know we have some regulatory boards that we have to confront.
But
what I see is doctors struggle because they want to use a peptide like they use a drug. Okay, you've got all the symptoms and we've classified that. Oh, it looks like you've got Crohn's disease and you've got leaky gut. Let's give you some BPC-157 instead of like, let's actually get people on a year-long program where they're using peptides to optimize their health. And we're not thinking of peptides to reverse disease. Yes, peptides will reverse disease, but when you can start thinking outside of that small narrow box of diagnosis treatment, then you start opening your eyes to a whole nother world that can exist. And then when you put a program together, that can free doctors up where they have enough time to work with patients versus let's try thymosin alpha 1 for a couple of months and then we're going to rerun your blood labs and see what your lymphocytes look like. You know,
That's interesting. And it's also changing the patient's expectations and what's really needed.
There we go.
You don't need the treatment for 1 month. Oh, I didn't notice anything. Okay, stop it, you know.
Right.
Where it's, you know, you need to stick with it and be a partner in health, you know.
Yeah, and that's the brilliant thing about it is when you in your programs, you know, I'm going to ask everyone to look at what you're offering your patients right now. And if you're offering them a fee per service model, you are stuck in the dark ages of conventional medicine. If you say, hey, how much is my office visit? You got to pay me every time you come to see me. Now you owe me for the peptide. Now you owe me for the herbs that I put you on. Now you owe me for this lab that I ran you on heavy metals. You know, what you want to do is you want to take all those services and create a whole unique process that you take your patient through. They will love it. You're going to get better results. You're going to feel more freed up because you now have some runway. You know, if you're going on a long flight, you're going to have a big old plane. And if you don't have the long runway, if you're having a fee per service model, that's where doctors bury themselves. They get burned out. They're always selling their patients on the next thing. The patients expect a quick fix. And we're practicing this functional, this new type of medicine, but so many of us have taken the same mindset into this new medicine that we carried with us from the old version of medicine. So the new version is memberships. It's putting programs together. It's having a plan that patients will stick to.
And I read a study where it's actually patients or really people in general, they are more stressed about making a decision than after making the decision, even if it's the bad decision.
Right.
So, and I think about, so we send the patient to the front desk and we'll have 10 things or who knows how many. They got to say, do I want this? Do I want to come back? I don't know if I can afford this every month. This every month. And they got to just decide every time. That's so stressful. They just go, I can't do it. And then they talk to their husband and go, oh, you spent what? You know, instead of like, they made a decision. Look, I am going to commit to a year. They're more compliant. They're happier, the outcomes are better, the doctor's happier, they doesn't have to like talk about prices, you know, every visit and sound like a used car salesman. It's a win-win-win, you know?
Yeah, it's a fun way to practice. And so, you know, I think each one of you can look at the way that your business is operating right now. And the crazy thing we forget is we get held hostage by our own policies. By our own ideas. And so what I'd encourage everyone to do is kind of break free and make a decision today, because I think it was Teddy Roosevelt. He said, the best decision you can make is the right one. The second best decision you can make is the wrong one. The worst decision you can make is no decision. So you're right.
And so,
you know, if we all just decide, hey, let's practice medicine. Let's elevate the standard of care a little more. Let's be the Ritz-Carlton. Let's be the Four Seasons. We don't need any more Motel 6s around. I can tell you that does not get the result.
And there's a lot of Motel 6s. And yeah, that's standard medicine. And if you break an arm or something, it's good. But if you have any complex illness, oh, forget it. You know?
Right. And where is all the spending in our country? I mean, we're in this $17 trillion infrastructure with healthcare. It's insane. So it's like, well, let's figure out where that money's going. Well, it's going to treat chronic disease, but we're using acute care to treat a chronic condition. And then I see too many doctors bringing that same model. They want to practice some holistic medicine. They believe in it, but they try to bring that same mindset into a brand new version of medicine. But really, the beautiful thing about it is you don't have to. You can actually create the rules. You can actually formulate your programs however you want. So the way we formulate ours is we put in all the peptides. So we put in phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. There's an allowance for each phase. We have an urban supplement bank because I'm a Chinese herbalist. So I love, you know, using the herbs with the peptides and finding
very synergistic.
very synergistic. It's gorgeous. I mean, you can use something like cordyceps, for example. And cordyceps it activates the AMPK pathway, similar to MOTC, right? So, you know, you can see all these ways that you maximize that. Oh, there you go. Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think we forget that there are some of these ancient therapies that go so well with the modern medicine. But I do see that if we don't take our patients through, and if you don't give them a clear roadmap, they're going to be confused. And a confused patient, they go into decision-making fatigue because their brain
Our biggest problem is, and because we'll go through the peptides and it's like ABC equals XYZ, da, da, da. It's like Greek, right? And like, well, what's the problem, you know? Yeah, it's totally true. I just want to also mention about degrees and things. And I agree that degree doesn't matter. It's what you do after.
There you go.
And it's people continually learn. We have patients that are so freaking intelligent. They know more than every doctor they go to, right? And they have no degree. And then you have the super specialist that's still practicing the same damn thing, won't read a journal article. And just a quick story. So I wrote an article on HPA axis dysfunction and chronic fatigue syndrome, published it. And I gave it to a patient and he was feeling so much better. He goes, I'm gonna show my endocrinologist. And it wasn't out yet. And he gives the endocrinologist and he goes, oh, I read this, this is a terrible paper. He goes, no, you haven't, it isn't out yet. And he threw it in the trash. He goes, I don't need to read it, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's typical.
Yeah, and so as you know, in the community that I've created with Go Wellness, all we're looking for is open-minded doctors. You know, we're always intellectually seeking. No one's got all the answers, but I think if we take the right mindset with this thing and have the right context around healthcare, we can be part of the solution. Because you know, I believe Abraham Lincoln. I've also heard Peter Diamandis say this, but the best way to predict your future is to create it yourself. And so every day I ask myself, okay,
I mean, the lotto tickets aren't going to do it for me. It is what I find. I'm like, I'm sick of this. I buy more lotto tickets.
Yeah. Here's your key to success. Just scratch it, you know, win. Keep your fingers crossed and hopefully it goes well. Yeah. That's what a lot of us are doing with our health. And unfortunately we do that with our practices too. We are like you. We see the worst of the worst. We have patients who've been to all the specialists and, you know, they come and they say, wow, in the 45 minutes I spent with you, you shared with me more things than my specialist has in the last 10 years I've been working with them. Like, what is this? And it doesn't take any special skills. It doesn't require you to go back to school for another 10 years. You don't have to go and do a bunch of crazy training. All it takes is an open mind and actually looking at things from a patient's perspective. And so when a patient, when they come into your unique community, they realize there's something different going on and they can feel it. And then when you have a novel medicine that's easy to explain, I've never found anything that is as transformative as peptide therapy because of the way that it works with the body. It's a bypass. You know, I've thrown patients on herbs and done all the functional medicine, heavy metal chelation, the NADIBs, I mean, everything. And then at the end of the day, we're like, we're still not getting them there. And then we put them on a peptide program and boom, within months, you know, I just talked to one of my diabetic patients, well, formerly diabetic. And we took her through a 6-month peptide program. She had already been through a 12-month functional medicine program. We got her hemoglobin A1C down. She's still on the same amount of medication, but she got it manageable. And I said, that's not good enough. Managing a disease is not a win for me. It's not the result. We put her on our peptide program and she literally got off insulin. She's no longer insulin dependent. She's on metformin. She was able to put on, so she was wasting away. So she's been able to put on 5 pounds of muscle. She's got her fitness back. She's got the brain fog is cleared up. She doesn't have the emotional drops, and that would not have been possible if we didn't put her on a process.
So total life changing. And it's interesting with BPC-157, It's very homeostatic. Like if you have low blood pressure, it raises it. If you have high, it lowers it.
Yeah.
You know, or if you're hypercoagulable, it, you know, it's less. If you can't coagulate, it goes up. And yeah, it's kind of like smart meds type thing, you know, and so safe. You know, some of these you can take 1,000 times a dose. Try that with Tylenol or water, even, you know, you're dead.
Right. Yeah, the lethal dose on peptides, it's like, man, I can't find it. It just doesn't exist. And yeah. You can go and buy vitamin C and you can kill yourself from dehydration from vitamin C much quicker than you could ever injure yourself.
And that's probably one of the safest things around.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what do you see in 2021? Or what were the challenges in 2020 versus 2021 that you see? The big differences.
I think the biggest thing that hopefully all of us got out of 2020 is we were able to have 5 years of progress occur in a matter of 6 months. We put a practice that I've always kind of half-assed done virtual care. And what I found in 2020 is I said, holy smokes, people are now willing to push a button. They're willing to watch a seminar. So our marketing, we decreased our marketing expenses by 90% and increased our results. We doubled our results. So that's pretty phenomenal. When everyone else was retreating, I've never worked so hard in my life as I did in 2020, but it was the biggest learning experience for me because I realized that number one, I had to get my team confident. And so we did stem cell IVs. We did thymus and alpha one. We have unlimited amounts of herbal supplies, so everyone felt safe, so that we didn't shut down. We said we're gonna help the community here.
But you certainly can't say it. You can't say, "Hey, this is gonna help." You know, yeah. We put up an article on vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, flavonoid for COVID within 22 references. 24 hours later, FTC. False, you know, fake news, like what? Take it down. Yeah.
I've gotten two letters this year as well. But I am working with the health department here in Utah. And I'm saying, look, we have a large subset of the population who does not believe in vaccines, whether it's religious reasons or for other reasons. But our goal is to keep the community safe. And they, you know, so I've been in these roundtable discussions and they are now considering vitamin D testing. So you can do a rapid vitamin D test for $5.
Like, oh my God. So cutting edge. Like they're like, yeah, vitamin hospitals. D. It's like, right. Even the study, like people on a ventilator, they gave vitamin D, 5% mortality, didn't give it 50%. Oh, I don't know if we should give that.
Right. Well, the study out of Spain was the most compelling where it was, I think it was like 300 plus patients and they all were tested for vitamin D. They had below 30, you know, most of them were in the teens in their vitamin D levels. Half the group, about 150, got vitamin D IVs. Within 5 days, they were all discharged from the hospital, minus about two of them. And then the other half stayed in the ICU. You know, some of them died. They ended up on ventilators. I mean, it was just like, you know, is there some common sense? And that's what I'm trying to bring to the table, not just to healthcare.
The thing that, is it common sense or corruption?
Yeah, and I can't speak on the corruption side because it's hard not. I mean, we'd just be throwing mud, and I wouldn't know if it's factual or not. But I can tell you that the common sense is absolutely lacking. You know, I grew up on a farm in Idaho. We played in the mud, the crap. We were exposed to all kinds of crazy bacteria, viruses every single day. That's what we need. You know, now our whole trajectory is let's spray anything we possibly can. And let's aerosol it out. Let's put masks over our face. Let's not have any social interaction. You know, it's just, we're in a pandemic and this virus has some teeth, but I think it's probably some of the ways that we set up our health before the coronavirus ever hit that has actually been the reason why we're in the pandemic.
I have a little stronger opinions on it, which I'll leave for personal conversation.
We don't want this taken down. So
that's it. But there's some black helicopters coming. Yeah. What's in your 17-year career, what surprised you the most? What's been the epiphany moment?
I think one of the defining moments that I had is, you know, as an acupuncturist, a Chinese medical practitioner, I always worked with a neurologist and medical doctors, and I started integrating and hiring them early in my career. But the big epiphany that I had is I remember coming home and my kids were already in bed. My daughter was 3, my son was 1. My wife at the time hated me. She just was like, all you can about is work. And yeah, I mean, it was true because I don't blame her, because I was working literally, I was with patients. I was treating 200 patients a week by myself. I had, an administrative person, and I had just a big responsibility. I had a 6-month wait list. I was really good as a practitioner. I really know how to connect with people. And I know it's a unique ability that I've got, but I couldn't balance my personal life.
Yeah, so it's a passion, which is good, but also you need balance.
You need balance. And, I'm on fire.
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah. On the five elements, I'm 40% fire. So, I burn things up and I burn myself up. It took a divorce and kind of this moment, this breaking moment where I realized, I need to start doing things differently. And so it was that night when I just started sobbing. I just had the realization that what are you doing with your life? Because I could only help so many people. And I just said, if I can just help one more person, then I'll be successful. If I just help one more person, then I'll be fulfilling my destiny. And I just had that wake up call. And so, I went through, I had a divorce, and I made the decision that night that I'm going to do my life different. And so I had the gift where I could rewrite my whole future. The best way to predict your future is to create it yourself.
So you kind of woke up and just felt like, okay, this is a new beginning.
That's it. Yeah. I had no other choice. I said, I do not want to live this way. I want it. I have an amazing wife right now. I don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past. And so I made it my mission. I said, I'm going to free myself. I'm going to build a practice that can run with or without me being there, so I can still fulfill my purpose and my destiny. But it's not going to be a Reagan show anymore. It's not going to be about me, because I realized there's a lot of ego in that. And so I said, I had to step back. And it was really painful, because my Japanese teacher, I ended up leaving the fold of the Seitai Shimpo world, which I was, I was the leader there as the first American certified in that. I went through a whole religious break and I just restarted my life, and it changed everything for me. This was 11 years ago. So the
hard
biggest
to let go, right? I mean,
that's the hardest thing in life, right? Is if you the beautiful thing is when you free yourself up from the past. So I just freed myself up. I said, hey, Reagan, the former version of myself did things a certain way, and it got me a certain result, and I don't like that result, so I'm going to do things differently. And so I just
did the George Costanza and did the opposite.
You could do the opposite too. Yes, but I wanted to create a bigger future, but I wanted more freedom at the end of the day. That was nice. That was what I was able to cultivate.
How did you from there make that happen? So you said, okay, I want to change.
Yep.
But who's your mentor? How do you go about it?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is I took every single training program I could. I hired all the best of the best in the world. I would max out my credit cards. I didn't care what it would cost. I remember being on the phone with one of the sales reps. I said, I need the coach. I need the mentorship. And Curry Chaudhoir was my first mentor in the group. And it was literally, I was like, oh, we maxed out that card. Let me get this card. Then I got a third card. But I took everything that I was taught by my mentors and I implemented. I was a very good student. I said, the only way I can free myself up is if I learn to put as much passion into my business as I do my patients. And then it's going to be a win-win. And so that's what I did. And I,
you know what? I'm just thinking that's so profound, because I think what changed my life, I was sick and this kind of got me into this alternative, which I would never have done. I went to every conference, had no money, stuff just, you know, I can't afford it, but okay, I just, you know, whatever, I got a blank check, here you go, you know, whatever. And no money in the bank account, but just went to every damn conference around the world. And it was the best thing ever. And I think anyone who invests in themselves is such a great investment.
Man,
you know,
and Kent, would you say there's any other thing that you'd rather invest in than your improvement as a human being?
No. And if you look at my investment history, I could retire if I didn't invest in other people. I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Yes.
It's basically, yeah, a joke. It is my investment skills are so bad. But no, investing in yourself, it just always pays off.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And the more you do, the more you get back. Right. And it's amazing. You know, I think through the years, like I've had, you know, so many lessons. A lot of them are very expensive lessons, but I can tell someone else, hey, I tell you what not to do, you know.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
That's how we progress. And so, you know, once I became successful and I realized, oh, wow, I have a practice. I remember in 2013, 8 years ago, I went on a trip to Ireland and I was gone for almost 2 weeks. And I came back and I said, don't contact me. You guys got it. And I came back and to see how my experiment worked out, and they performed better with me gone. And that's when I realized, okay, there's some magic here and I got to start sharing this with other people. So, you know, that's part of what I do. I'm more interested in the science and the medicine. I love that. But I'm really fascinated with finding better ways to deliver and administer healthcare as a team. Yeah.
And because you can only treat so many people. How many people can you treat yourself, you know?
Exactly.
But yeah. You're showing doctors how to treat patients and be happy and be able to do it. You should go on the site Sermo. I don't know if you've ever heard that. You want to see the most miserable doctors in the world. there's a whole thing on like, they're all feel stuck, but yeah. They all think there's no way out. Right. Yeah. And so I used to post and say, well, you got to learn something really well and get out of the insurance. Oh, that's impossible. You know, it's like my brother, who's, I call him anti Tony Robbins. Like no matter what it is, he'll give you 1,000 reasons why you can't do it. You know,
Yep.
And it is, you can, the misery is palpable.
Yeah.
In medicine.
Well, and I think it's just in our society right now. I mean, our brains are hardwired 17 times more likely to listen to negativity than positivity. And so I really, you know, I work on my brain every day. I listen to isochronic beats, binaural beats. I mean, I'm always like, I try to be very sensitive to what's going on in my brain, because I realize whether I like it or not, my thoughts are impacting everything in my life.
Oh,
whether
totally.
It's out of my mouth or not. And I've seen that in so many cases. And I know, you know, you guys, some of you guys are probably like, oh, Reagan, come on. But it actually, if you just try it, just for a week, I have this little exercise. I call it the mindset morning. And the mindset morning is just where you get, wake up 5 minutes, first 5 minutes of the day, you breathe, you just clear your head. Timer goes off, second 5 minutes of the day, you're writing down your goals, your affirmations. What am I going to do today? Who am I going to serve? And then the third 5 minutes, you just visualize that. And you just visualize what you want to feel like at the end of your day, because emotions are powerful. I think we forget, especially as men, we think, oh, I don't need to face my emotions. But that's the most powerful part of you running a business, is can you use your emotions to push the whole thing forward? Can you actually use your emotions to attract the right clients and the right patients? Can you use your emotions to free yourself up so that you feel
that energy that attract, or, you know,
and
when I was sick and, you know, just feeling bad, it's like, I didn't know I did this. My girlfriend said, you know, last 3 years, you've woken up and just cussed. Like, you know, just, and I'm like, well, I have been, like, you know, like, wow. That's not a good way to wake up. You know, it's kind of sets the tone of the day.
But I mean, if you look at everything you've accomplished, Dr. Holtorf, I mean, so few people have accomplished what you have. And did you ever imagine you'd have done all that you've done in your profession? If you look back 10, 20 years ago?
I was voted to, you know, basically over under lifespan about 24. So it's all gravy now. But I wouldn't live the way I felt, you know, and that was it. And you think you want all this money and do this and just wait until you get a chronic illness that, and you go from doctor to doctor, you know, and the physician and, you know, but patients are getting worse that don't believe them, you know, are sarcastic. And that's what really, you know, doctors can be so mean, you know, and again, there's exceptions, but as a whole, I think the most unempathetic people. I guess, sorry, we're talking about doc, cut this out. No, but this is the group of doctors that actually care.
Right.
You know, and we're the ones that are criticized as, oh, we're not evidence-based. We're the ones staying up till 4 a.m, reading the journals, trying to help the sickest of the sick because they take the easy road out and don't believe in that illness because they don't be a bad person. It's easier to say we don't believe it, you know, and the less a doctor knows, the more adamant they're right. And so the doctors on this form, I congratulate you. My thoughts and prayers go out to you for, you know, watching this because you want to help your patients. Where the standard physicians, one, I don't blame them because they can't do it anyways. The, you know, their group, their hospital won't let them do it. So why learn it? Yeah. But with a different model, it's so nice. You can be a doctor and go read studies and then use that, you know, wow, I just learned this. I could use that treat. Oh my God, my patient that has this, try that in a big hospital group. You can't do that.
Mm-mm. No, your hands are tied. And so, you know, one of the beautiful things, I mean, I'm really excited about our program and giving people the tools so that they can at least start getting some of these peptide programs implemented. I think that's going to change it. Imagine if we could take our program and put it into hospital systems and we just said, okay, here, you know, one of my patients sits on the board of one of the major hospitals here. And he keeps saying, Reagan, I want to get you in and I want to put your business model in the hospital, but I'm trying to get inside the system so we can transform it, the whole thing.
Well, interesting story. I'll try to be quick, but you know, we had 22 centers, the Fire Mountain 3 centers, and that was sold. And then we had 9 franchises, but our first franchise was bought by a hospital.
Wow.
That was an hour north of Kansas City. And this one guy told me, he goes, they will never let you in there. I'm like, no, they're totally up for it. They tried to do an anti-aging clinic for like 10 years. It wasn't working. So we go in, we tell them what the numbers are. They're like, yeah, right. You're right. Whatever. Just come in. And so we basically set up the program. And I guess the other doctors got so freaked out. Like the endocrinologist got like 15 calls the first week of what's reverse T3, and he goes, that's me, you know, and all these doctors were just saying, oh, they don't practice evidence-based medicine, and they're barbaric, and so they call me, you gotta fly out and show your evidence base. I'm like, oh, I would love to do that, you know, which was the wrong way to go, but so I showed that we are evidence-based, and actually, they are not, which really made them even madder. And like, so within 2 minutes, the rheumatologist, it was all the head of all the specialties, you know, stands up, does not listen to this bullshit and walks out. And wow. Then they go, and then they said, oh yeah. Then the OBs like holding up the obstetric society guidelines. I'm like, hey, what level of evidence is that? Okay. You have first, you know, double blind sequential studies and meta-analysis as the highest levels. And then you get down to, you know, sequential controlled. And then you have, you know, basically anecdotal cases. What's below that is societal guidelines. Mm-hmm. Because they're shown to be 20 years behind. They're shown to be biased. shown to not change. So you're arguing with that. And I just showed you 20 studies that what I'm saying is correct. So, and they go, you got to go talk to the CEO. He's so pissed. And so I go up to him, like, okay, I'm going to get beat up here. And he goes, listen, my wife has been sick for 15 years, going to all these specialists and hasn't been better at all. 2 visits at your clinic, dramatically better. I will take care of these doctors. Don't worry. I'm like, you won't. I guarantee it. And they had an emergency staff meeting. And by that time I had flown out, or actually I went to this satellite clinic. It was a pediatric clinic and the doctor was like open to it. I go, this is cool. Then all of a sudden the nurse says, oh, you got an emergency call quick. He's like, what? And it was the OB saying, don't talk to him. You know, don't listen.
Wow, conspiring. That's crazy.
And then so I fly out and I call and I go, how'd it go? And he said, well, it was like Frankenstein movie with the pitchforks and torches. And they just said, you know, they have to leave, you know. And it was a threat. You know, they think they're better than us. Wait, you were just saying we don't practice evidence-based medicine. Now you're saying, oh, we think we're better than you, you know?
Right.
And I talked to the guy, he goes, I told you, I grew up there. They won't let you in, you know? But it's interesting, you know?
It takes a lot of courage. I mean, that says a lot about you to stick up for yourself, because you could have said, okay, well, let me just do things your way and that'll be easier and make things nice. But you know, I think it stands to reason that the more of us that do that, that actually stand up for this medicine and talk about it, because there is discrimination that's going on, no matter what you want to call it, but we literally need a movement and we literally all need to start standing up and saying, hey, we've got, like, if we really believe in evidence-based medicine, I can guarantee you, we've got not only evidence-based medicine, but we got the results to show it with millions of patients.
Yeah, the problem is Big Pharma owns the world, you know?
They certainly own, the political scene. I'll leave it at that, but we've got some things. I think this, once again, requires all of us to be our very best version of ourselves, because we can make a big impact, even if it's not on the CNN. We have an underground movement that's going, that's very powerful. And so I
worry, you know, it's like patient driven, and because the media doesn't, you know, give it any credibility, but the patients see the results.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So how do you use peptides in your programs?
So typically what we'll do, and I kind of was mentioning this a little bit earlier, but yeah, we'll put together different phases of care, and based on what we're treating, we'll have specific peptides to get a patient on the right track. We'll have a supplement and herb bank. We use acupuncture, and then we have, vitamin IVs, vitamin sticks. They have health coaching. So we have a whole health coaching series that they go through. And then they get some type of, you know, whether it's trigger point injections, acupuncture, regenerative medicine services, if they have some musculoskeletal conditions, those are all part of the plan. So we package all the services they need and we bundle it together. And so a patient has one decision to make, you know, do you want to get the best? You know, we'll give them two options, you know, here's our basic and here's our comprehensive, which one looks best to you? And the majority of patients will say, I want the comprehensive, plan. I want to do whatever it's going to take to get me better. So that's what our programs include. And then I run what we call our weekly health accelerator course. And so every week I take patients through challenges. So I've got a group of thousands of people who we get together and I do live coaching. And then at the end of
thousands.
And so we have sugar is our big, so I give them a weekly challenge. So this week it's like no sugar. And so, you know, everybody's getting off sugar. We had a push-up challenge the other week, you know, let's see if we can.
I'd lose all that. I'm do as I say, not as I do. I eat Skittles for breakfast and.
Well, yeah, nothing wrong with a few Skittles.
And I'm so dedicated. I'm passionate about exercise. Just no matter what, every 4 months for 8 minutes, rain or shine.
I'm proud of you. That's man, if we could double that and do it every 2 months.
I don't want to overtrain. I've seen people overtrain.
That could be, I mean, you do not want to raise your inflammatory markers.
That's it. Sure. So I'm safe on that.
Yeah. But I find if I get the community engagement and accountability, that's.
Do you have 1,000 people on the call?
No, not at the same time, but we have a group of about, actually we have, I don't know how many, 15,000 that are engaged in some form or another, reading our blog. They're engaged in the content and participating. And then on our calls, I'm not sure how many we have on our calls, but the number is growing every week. But what I learned.
Just because, so this is like let me cut you off, go ahead.
No, keep going.
Oh, is that, so from, you know, doctors listening, okay, how do you keep those people engaged? How much work is it to do a blog, do a call, do a webinar? Like, what do you need to do?
And that's where it's not as much work as you think, if you have the right teamwork. So I'm great. I love creating content and I love thinking of the challenges, and I reach out to team members and health coaches and like, where is our patient struggling? And then I reach out to the marketing team. What are people most interested in? Oh, they're interested in fasting now, or the ketogenic diet, or whatever it is. So I put challenges based around those topics. And then I use my weekly podcast, and my weekly podcast becomes my blog, and my weekly podcast also starts relating to my challenge.
Good.
And so there's multiple channels. It becomes our social media posts throughout the week. And then it becomes my post when I'm tagging about, I'm doing my push-up challenge, you know, and I did a PA, one of my PAs and our physical therapist and me doing this push-up competition, who could do the most push-ups.
Awesome. Fun.
So if you can get engagement in your community, and if you can actually show, because one of our core values is we walk the talk. And so if you can show your patients you actually do these things, you know, I'm doing peptides all the time and I'm showing my patients, injecting myself, and they're like, I want what Reagan's doing. And so they say, well, cool, I want to get on board with this. I mean, it's just, it's those little things that make a big difference.
Nice. I have the problem of like perfection is the enemy of good enough. And like, so the marketing team, they'll write something and they won't send it to me anymore, because then I make it into a 12-page white paper, you know? Right. So we have to think, I can't, you know, it's also like a talk. It's like 200 slides. I'm paralyzed. I don't want to eliminate any slides. So I have to have other people do it, you know?
Yeah. So this is, I've experienced the same exact thing. And so one of my mentors, he said, look, the 80% rule is going to be critical. So the 80% rule is what 80% is good enough. And then you have to launch. And then you have other people that fill in the 20%. So I'll have my 80%. I send it to my content manager. She puts her 80% on it. And then we send it to Cade for the final version. And then we go. And it makes it so much better. And then if I have a deadline in front of me, I work really well on tight deadlines. And then that's when I show up. I'm a great person when it's fourth quarter and we're down by 20, I'll show up and we'll win the game. So that's, you know, we just look at each other's capabilities and we say, that's, you know, having a deadline and then having a team and then understanding 80% is good enough has saved my life.
That's good. Yeah, I work best 2 months after the deadline. That's what everyone's always like frustrated. Yeah. And they think it's like, you know, like, what is this? I don't know. I think it's kind of ADD. I'm so ADD. It's like, you just feel it's such a big task. So you wait, you know, and then start it. Yeah. So I don't have a lot of psychological issues. You know,
but, don't we all? Any entrepreneur has got some brain damage. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I guess, my mom's 5 packs a day and Adderall to keep her weight down probably during pregnancy. I could have been like 6'4" full head of hair. So what any particular peptides you like, or incorporate kind of biohacking with the peptides?
So I have a lot of friends in the biohacking world, and I love experimenting on myself. I just think it's fascinating. Right now I'm doing the Sandman, which is a high dose of melatonin.
What dose?
It's like 500 mg of melatonin.
Nice. You're the man. I would say 200 would be impressive. That, yeah.
And it's suppository. So it's like, it's a direct access. So that's what I'm trying right now with Epitalon and Melanotan too. I'm just resetting my entire circadian rhythms. And
yeah, I think Epitalon is like maybe the ultimate anti-aging peptide, mm-hmm. you know?
It's yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It increases telomeres. It's like, especially combined with a thymosin, it's, improves people with cardiovascular disease, improves it, less cancer, increased yeah. longevity, decrease morbidity. It's like everyone should be on it. And it will actually stimulate the hypothalamus pituitary axis. Your hormones go back up, can result in menopausal, at least rats or attorneys, to actually that or menopausal start menstruating and have children, Not yeah. that we want that. We don't want term children, but it's pretty amazing. And nice thing is they're so safe,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've really enjoyed the sleep I've been getting, the dreams, just the whole inflammatory process is just calmed down in my body. Cause I had Hashimoto's too. That's why I got into natural medicine. I wanted to do anything but farm work as an adult. And so I said, well, I'll be a doctor. Then at least I know how to study hard. But I had no answers when I was in my undergrad work in pre-med. So I've always fought kind of that autoimmune condition as well. But with peptides, it's made things very easy for me.
Yeah, you can get rid of that. We don't even think about it. And I put together a talk that I just gave on just Hashimoto's, where Hashimoto's patients, huge incidence of basically anti-pituitary antibodies, anti-mitochondrial antibodies, and they also have antibodies to giantase type 2, which doesn't suppress it, actually increases it. So the pituitary sees more thyroid, so the TSH goes down. So when all these doctors, you have Hashimoto's and they titrate T4 to TSH, they're all underdosed.
Yeah.
And they found that you fix the antibodies, patients feel, and I'm a lover of T3 and thyroid, actually feel better if you fix their antibodies versus giving them thyroid.
T3, well, right. Yeah, I mean, that's going to allow for the thyroid to function much better if you take the pressure off it.
Yeah, and you get actually transported into the cell and all these things, which, yeah. So that's amazing. You've gone through a lot of stuff. It's like the journey,
Oh, yeah. So I think we've all been on our own personal journey, and that's why we're
here
today. We're really...
I'm thinking if I was on a straight path, what would I be? I'd be like a chief of staff of some hospital. I would have probably killed myself in that.
Right, yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah. But, so you actually also deal with a lot of people that don't have MDs, can't write scripts, and so, able to use peptides that are supplements now. Hopefully that stays too.
Right. Yeah. Especially with your line with integrated peptides. I mean, that is a game changer. And then one of the things we do for some of the other peptides that are prescriptive based is we help team up some of our doctors with other practitioners out there. So whether they're a chiro or an acupuncturist or maybe a health coach who wants to implement some of these things into their practices, we have systems in place and teams in place to help facilitate that.
See, that's great. And hey, Kairos can market, like they get it.
Yep.
And then the doctor comes in. And what health coaches, I've always thought about that. And I just think, some extra hand holding. And I just think for what we do, we just kind of give people so much stuff and expect them to know it, And they can call and ask questions, but it seems like if we had a health coach, like they kind of sit there, hold their hand, like things would just be a lot better and a lot easier. And tell me, what's your thought on kind of the health coach arena?
I think the biggest way that you can free yourself up is think about the things that you repeat over and over again throughout the course of a day. And then that person, could you create a video and educate that way? And if not, then that's when you need a health coach to simplify things.
And also that personal touch, right? You know, it's like, hey, how you doing? It makes such a huge difference.
It's massive. And then there, it's an accountability partner. I mean, I don't like talking to patients like, oh, I told you no gluten, no sugar, no corn, no dairy, no peanut. I mean, it's like, well, why don't we just have a health coach who can, like, who loves to talk to people about their habits and their lifestyle, and have the health coach coach them. And, yeah. You know, and then I do.
What you say, it makes so much sense. I've been agonizing over.
Right. Yeah, it's like, I figure out what you don't have to do and stop doing it. How about we just give everyone a little bit of freedom today and say all those things that are irritating, stop doing it.
Oh my God. Do I do it? Do I not? Hello?
Right. I guarantee you there's someone on the planet who would love to do the things that you hate doing. Like that's the, you know.
I found that out. And there's jobs like our front desk. I could not do that. I couldn't do that repetitive stuff, but people love it. Like they, you know, it's comfortable. They have everything lined up. If you were to see my office, everything's just stacks and just people just freak. They go crazy when just all the papers everywhere. But like other people, oh my God, the pen's out of alignment, you know? Right. And they love that, love repetitive stuff. I can't stand it, you know? And it's like every job, like they want you to like show up on time. Like what? I'm unreasonable.
Right.
But
we're unemployable.
That is true. When I was so disillusioned with medicine, with standard medicine, I opened up a beer company and had a hangover free beer, and it went well. It's the funnest industry ever, you know. And but I learned that as a doctor, you're not qualified to do anything else. Like you go to temp agency, like they're like, oh nope, you can't file. I filed MA before MC. Like, sorry, file clerks out. But I think I'm telling too much. I probably have to cut this out. Let's see. Yeah. So, and talk about the virtual utilization.
So one of the transitions we made in 2020 and that we're continually making in 2021 is I still love the brick and mortar. I love people coming in live, but I also learned that there's so much that we can do with technology where you can really multiply your efforts. And that's where virtual care comes in. So our peptide programs, we work with patients all over the country. And it's beautiful because they never have to step foot into our clinic. You know, we in the past, it would be, hey, do you have a clinic in Texas? You know, but now it's like, well, we can, you know, we've got this beautiful platform where you can work with anyone literally anywhere in the country with peptides. Certain states are going to have different criteria that have to be met. And you've got to, you know, luckily we've got integrated peptides, but there's some amazing things you can do virtually that you couldn't have done prior to 2020.
Yeah. And I think it's one of the good things from, you know, this whole pandemic, which has been a nightmare, but it's opened it up. And I think the horse is out of the barn, you know, that I think it's going to be hard to bring that back where you had to have a license in that state. Mm-hmm. You know, right. And now the only thing is, you know, kind of advertising nationally now, it's, you know, more expensive. Yep. But word of mouth is always key. And yeah, it's actually opened up, which I never thought like medicine would open up more.
Yeah, but there's been some gifts. You know, there's a big silver lining in all of this. And I think the biggest silver lining I learned is that the people who are the most passionate, the most purpose-driven, we've made huge changes. And the next 5 years is going to look really good as long as we can all stay together, stay the course. Because we've already been censored. I mean, we already know that. But the beautiful thing is the society has said, hey, whenever you get some oppression in one area, then this huge energy emerges on the other. Like I'm here in Utah and we have some of the world's best microbreweries because there's not been a lot of alcohol consumption in this state.
Not allowed to. Yeah.
Right. And so now you've got all these, you know, it's almost like this, you know, you got to have this opposing energy. We talked about balance at the beginning of this, and I think it's a beautiful time to put it in at the end, which is, yeah, there's always these emergent energies. And as long as we look at it and we look for the opportunities, when everybody's looking right, we look left and we're going to find opportunities that we never knew existed. And that's what I found in 2020. It's been a beautiful experience. And in 2021, we're just carrying that with us.
I think that's a good point. And that's where, you know, you even look at, you know, the rich elite, they make their money in recession.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you buy low. And also, yeah, you say, well, there's this, you know, basically counter. I think about squeezing a sausage or something, you know, part comes out the other side because there's a backlash. Thank God.
Yeah.
Because, and I hope there's more because it's getting pretty squeezed right now. So hopefully it would come out the other end better. Yeah, that'd be great. So just kind of in closing, three action items to implement peptides in practice.
So, you know, action item number one is look at your programs and in every single one of your programs, put in a peptide bank, a peptide allowance. I think that would be probably a great action item.
Can you describe that a little more, like what you actually mean by that in detail?
Yeah, so think of a phase one, whatever that patient needs in phase one, whether it's, you know, repair and clear, you know, whether you're doing re-inoculation or whatever phase you are, if you're working with autoimmunity or if you're working with joints. But think about phase one, phase two, and phase three. What does that look like? And think about a proper peptide allowance for each one of those phases. And then sell that single, don't sell individual peptides anymore, but sell the entire amount that the patient's going to need. And then put in your functional medicine visits or office visits. Put in your health coaching and whatever other services you do, put it all into one program. So that would be action item number one.
And let me ask you, so it's virtual, you can't do IVs and things like that, but is that something you potentially add, or do you add supplements to that? Do you add?
Supplement bank is very.
And so you basically give an allowance.
That's it.
For a certain amount. Now, what if person, you want to give them more or less, what happens?
You just change the number. If you know how to use Excel.
So do you charge them different? Because now they bought a package and now, you're getting charged extra for this. Or let's say they don't get as many that was allotted. Do they get a refund?
They get a refund or they get a credit. But in most cases, you're going to go through it. You're going to. Yeah,
and the way we have carries over and then.
Yeah, the way we have it structured is that people love the program so much. And then when it comes time to renew, they're more than happy to.
They're not stressed out about it. Yeah.
Not at all. Yep. So that's action item number one. Action item number two is look at your marketing message and just clean it up a little bit. Like actually start talking in ways that your patients can relate to. And just see if you can't really start using some of that emotional energy that we talked about today and help them see that there's freedom on the other side when they work with you. Same thing with think about what you went through with all the knowledge you have, but with your chronic illness, like you had to do a lot of searching on your own.
And so I had a huge leg up on these patients, you know?
Right. But it was still a challenge for you.
What they have to go through.
Right. And so speak to that person. So that's challenge number two. And then challenge number three is set bigger goals for this year than you ever imagined. Just set a goal that's scary. Stop taking the easy way out. Your comfort zone is just there to make you feel comfortable, but it's the worst place you can stay in. So if you're not working on something that's scary, then you probably don't have big enough goals. And so we need you now more than ever to set some big goals, set some big intentions, and really get engaged so that you can build out the healthcare of the future that we're all trying to work on right now.
Awesome. Yeah. If you're not stepping outside your comfort zone, I don't think you're growing, right?
it's impossible. The universe will recycle you. You'll have a forced retirement. So stay outside of that thing.
Awesome. You're so wise beyond your years. and it's just a pleasure to work with you and knowing you. And yeah, so we're offering a peptide module as an introductory course. So you get a little appetizer. And then if you want to get more advanced training, and then that's available as well. Awesome. I love talking to you. I just feel inspired. I got to go change the world. Excuse me. I'll be back. Yep. You got special gifts, and I just love talking to you, hanging with you. So I thank you for taking the time.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. And for all of you, you'll have access to our course. And so Kent and I will see you on the other side. Would love to have you in there.
Sounds great.